Welcome. Welcome to our special village board meeting. 7 o'clock, Monday, December 6th. I'd ask the village administrator to please take a roll call. Acting. What do you do today?
You know, all of it. It's fine. I can also fix your car.
All right.
Calling the meeting to order at 7:02. Let's see. Steve Bachner, here. Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
President Aducey? And then do we want to admit?
Hello?
Yep, we didn't forget you, Bob. I promise.
Yeah, 1 minute.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So we'll need a motion to allow Bob, Trustee O'Connell, to participate remotely due to travel.
Work travel.
Motion to, is that what you said? Allow Bob O'Connell to participate.
Work travel. Second.
All right. Second from Trustee. Roll call vote on that. We'll go with Trustee Bachner here, yes. Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Okay. Then we can admit Trustee O'Connell, correct?
Yep.
Thank you.
Go ahead and say here, Bob.
Here.
Here. All right.
All right. Okay. Very good. All right. So if I can ask to stand in.
The Republic for which it stands.
Nation under God. For this brawl.
We do have one. And no, okay, we have one public comment, citizen comment, Mindy Creedy.
I take this down.
Oh, yes, you may.
President Aducey and village trustees. I'm requesting the VBOT, Village Board of Trustees, intervene in the direction of the DEI advisory group. We need access to village information and to redefine the AG's education agenda. After 6 months, the AG has yet to accomplish any of the outlying goals. Everyone in the AG signed on make River Forest a better community. We want to identify and eliminate barriers to achieve that goal. At the November 16th meeting, we spent almost the entire 2 hours discussing our personal characteristics and how those characteristics rack up against societal norms, all in an effort to determine dominant and marginalized groups. Several AG members expressed concerns that this exercise was divisive. Others thought it was unproductive. These concerns were ignored.
He's got to become aware of that.
In response to questions about this exercise, the AG leadership said things like, "We're on a journey. The journey is required to do equity work. This exercise will help us build trust." We wonder in what or with whom are we building trust? We are already a divided group, and if you don't agree with the majority, you are treated like an opponent. Having many years of experience with diversity and inclusion and team building, Scott Florida C-suite, there are many effective approaches for building trust amongst the DEI advisory group and enhancing the diversity, equity, and inclusiveness of River Forest. Most other approaches, in my experience, do not create division. The premise that our group must accept theories and personal conjecture as to the societal dominance and oppression is inconsistent with the language set forth in the Village Board of Trustees resolution establishing the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group. I respectfully request the Village Board of Trustees redirect the DEIAG's, a highly diverse group of residents, efforts towards the business of achieving the goals set forth in the resolution. We need access to employment statistics, village codes, HR practices, policies, vendor relationships, etc. Additionally, I request that you amend the resolution to clearly state what the destination is for the journey the chairs think we are on. Are we journeying to Peoria or Prague? Thank you for your consideration.
I admit I was struggling with AG. Now I figured out it was the advisory group that you were referring to. Okay, thank you, Mindy. No, we're going to get a new village administrator this evening, so we'll bring these up with the chairs, including Brian, to address any of these issues that you mentioned.
To just so thank you, Mindy, for expressing your concern in the meetings and for making it aware here how you felt. Our meetings are very, very proud to say that they're robust. And we do a lot of kind of work in the sessions. That we try to hold the sessions every 2 weeks, and it's been clear from the majority that there are several different paths that they want to take. A few in education, in different types of education, and one to the business of the advisory group. The session that Mindy is speaking to, we did spend time on getting the building blocks of how to look and seek out and understand people of diverse backgrounds. And one of those things is to understand some of the things from your background. During that session, a couple of people expressed they were not comfortable with that. And I told them immediately, and I told the whole group, that that's not unexpected. This work is hard, and that if you don't want to do that kind of work on your own or in person during that meeting, that that's fine. It's new, and it can feel, can be a lot to go through that exercise. So, and I want to make clear that in that session, I think we were pretty clear about saying that nobody had to participate in the, but we do have education that we're going to be doing around equity. We do have education that we are going to be doing around the village. And we do have work that we want to begin. The session before the one that Mindy brought up, we spent the entire time doing the work of the group and prioritizing and understanding what focus, and a lot of the things that Mindy brought up in her comments were things that actually came out of that session. So each session is not going to be split up into three necessarily, and I think the chairs, that's something that we've spoke about. That's something we've spoke about during our advisory group meetings. Session won't look like, you know, 5 minutes and this, 45 minutes and this, and 45 minutes and that. Often because we are having robust conversation about one topic in particular, and it's good for that conversation to roll through instead of trying to put five times. So, Mindy, that's what my my answers to you are up front. And
I'll just add that, you know, like we talk about at the meetings, you know, diversity in itself brings about differing opinions. And so, you know, we expect to get opinions from all sides. And as a result, it took us approximately 3 or so months to come up with our definitions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. A bunch of opinions, and we had to come together as a group and finally vote on it and establish that. So after that, after we finally were able to accomplish that, our next move was to say, okay, what's our plan? Let's set forth a plan. Group, what would you like to see? And then we came up with all these opinions and ideas, and now we're in the process of putting those ideas in action, and one of them was education. Our last meeting was about education. Appreciate everything you're saying, Mindy, and would encourage you to continue to be at the meeting and offer up your opinions. And, you know, I'm excited about having you in the group.
But, Mindy, I mean, this isn't a time, I mean, to debate. I mean, I'd be happy to take another point of view if you want, but I'm trying to limit. Public comment is to do what you need to say.
I will thank Erica, Lisa, and Ken. I think they're doing a phenomenal job in leading this entire very diverse group. I think the challenge is that I think we're going to end up like the DEAR committee, where the chairs are not recognizing alternate point of views. And as I said before, if you have a different opinion, then you're treated like you're opposition. And the majority is not short, single parent, white women like me. It is a different majority, which is fine. But those voices are not being heard. And I ask the DEI, again, to give us access to information that will help us identify barriers to make River Forest a better community to live, shop, and work. I would also ask if there is some journey that we're supposed to be on that you all know. I really want to know what journey we're going on. In the 1940s, people got on a train to go on some journey. I'd like to know if I'm going to Peoria or Prague.
Thank you, Mindy. And again, I think I think when Brian takes along with Lisa, we'll help with the data that I think we've all been talking about. And I know Eric, you've been wanting. So thank you, and we'll work toward making it all work. I'm confident with the leadership that we've got that we'll get there. I'm confident. So thanks again. All right, so let's go on with elected official comments and announcements. Bob, we'll start. Oh, Bob's not there.
Oh
yeah, he is. You kind of went. Yeah, okay, thank you. And Lisa reminded me, we've got a lot on our plate this evening because we're going to do our goal setting. So just please be succinct and brief if you don't mind. And we got another meeting on the 13th. So if there's, thank you. If there's updates you really want to give on, like on your committees, if you can hold it off till next week, please do so. If not, feel free to talk about it tonight, but we do our meeting next Monday. Bob.
Okay, I've got just two things real quick. I'm at a convention in Las Vegas, and the first person who came up to the booth this morning was Eric Palm, and he said to send his best to all of you. And so he says he's doing great in Hoffman Estates and looks forward to hearing more great things about River Forest. And then the other thing, I just wanted to congratulate the Fenwick High School football team for winning the state 5A championship last weekend. It was a great showing. It was the first state championship in the school's history. So congratulations to all our Friars. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Just a quick announcement. I just would like to let all the residents know that you can now file an appeal for your property taxes.
Yep.
From now through January 4th is the final date. So I would encourage you, strongly encourage you to file your appeal and work with the village if you have issues or concerns on how to get that accomplished.
I wanted to just comment on how beautiful the village is looking as I was driving to the meeting tonight. All the holiday lights out are really spectacular and so enjoyable. And it reminded me that when I went to put my lights out, I had some strands that weren't working. So I wanted to follow up. Jeff, you know where I'm going with that. Are we doing a holiday lights recycling program? If so, is the bin going to be out there soon, or is it out there already? And I'll just ask other residents who, like me, have unworking strands, just put them to the side, put them in your garage. Don't put them in the landfill trash. Let's wait for the bin.
Don't use them. If the fire department would care to weigh in, don't use anything that looks questionable.
And then following up on the your reference that we do have a meeting on December 13th,
yes,
13th. I was just going to ask if we can get the schedule set. There's nothing on the calendar that shows our village board meeting schedule. You won't know till next week what the January schedule is.
Well, it's always the second and fourth Monday.
Okay.
So the holidays
aren't
going to
change that.
Yeah, I mean, if anything changes, it's one may come off, but we rarely put one on.
And are we assuming that the 20th is coming off of the calendar? December 20th is coming off of the calendar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so December 13th, next Monday, will be our last
meeting. And then the second and fourth.
So okay. It'll be the 10th and the 24th right now. But
thank you.
Yeah.
Brett?
I'm going to withhold one item for next meeting and just join Trustee O'Connell on congratulating Fenwick on their state.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Oka, the Chippewa, the Menominee, the Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. The only real thing that I have for this evening, I'll keep others for next week, is to continue to be around COVID and to mask up and to think about what activities you are doing in D.C.
Very good. I too will wait till next because I think we will give an update on our Mayor's Caucus age-friendly committee that I chair and Rez is kind of co-chair. So with that, I have no other further comments. So we'll move to the consent agenda. So if I can get a motion for 5A through C.
I motion to approve the consent agenda items A through C.
Second.
Yeah, we got one. Thanks, Bob. Sorry. Okay, if I can ask the clerk to read the consent agenda and then take the vote.
Okay.
Or the administrator.
Approval of a resolution, I'm sorry, 5A, approval of a resolution declaring the official intent to reimburse for certain capital expenditures, Village of River Forest, Cook County, Illinois, with the issuance of not to exceed $5.4 million bonds or a loan from a local financial institution. Approval of an ordinance prohibiting the discharge of weapons and explosives as part of any film or photo production in the village. C. Approval of an ordinance waiving the 8-foot setback requirement for a sign on village-owned property at 7787 Lake Street. Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Thank you. And thank you for your approval on B. I think that's an important ordinance. We're going to move on now to our new business. And this is the appointment of our new village administrator, Brian Murphy. So if I can get a motion.
I move to approve the village president's appointment of Brian Murphy to the offices of village administrator, zoning administrator, and budget officer for a term through May 12, 2025, and until his successor is appointed and qualified.
Your second. Okay. Any questions on that? If hearing none, I'll ask the village minister. Whatever.
Lisa. It would be my pleasure.
That's a new title. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love it if you'd order me a new business card that just says Lisa Shiner.
Whatever.
That would be the best part of my career, I got to tell you. All right. This is great news tonight. Congratulations, Brian. With that, Brian Murphy, whatever's bought. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yay. Woo! All right. So I'll need a motion and a second on 9B.
I move to approve a resolution authorizing the execution of an employment agreement for village administrator Brian Murphy.
Second.
Questions on item 9B, hearing none, please. Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to do the swearing in. Boy. Or I as the deputy clerk? Either one of us can.
You want to attend this meeting?
For Elijah, actually. Elijah?
The
deputy. Elijah. So, what well, we are.
Whatever.
I'll do it.
Whatever.
Whatever. So, Brian, welcome to our crazy.
Right. That's a new department under where you're going to inherit the whatever.
I had no idea, John.
We're going to have the whatever department.
You know what? We adapt. Nicely.
Right.
Whatever sounds like it. Take a picture of this. Yeah, Sarah couldn't do it. She couldn't do it because she's a photographer. I told you we're on a shoestring. You get.
All right. Hi, Brian Murphy. Only swear or
hey, are you trying to make a public comment?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
There's hand sanitizer in the back. But yeah. You can sit right up. Welcome to the front.
Why, thank you.
All right. That's it for, do you need a pen or something? I mean, you came prepared. Did you think you're not going to miss it?
I was a little anxious, you know, whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
Do we have a pen? Exactly. Oh, sure. Well, yeah, we'll find one.
Whatever.
Don't worry about it.
right.
Don't worry about it. It was. Yeah, here's an agenda. There we go. All right. Don't scare me, Brian. No.
Are you guys okay out there?
if we told you yes, would you believe us?
Yeah. What did Bob say? Saying we're
okay out here.
Oh, yeah. Well, very good. Well, congratulations. I mean, that's, I think we're, you know, welcome aboard and all that good stuff. We'll have time next week to give you all the accolades for about a week, and then,
yeah,
you know,
then that's it.
But welcome aboard. All right. So with that, we're going to go right into executive session. Yeah.
Is there going to be an estimated time, or I'm not putting a time. It's, we're coming back in open, right?
Yes, to do our goal setting.
Okay. So people
We are. Yeah. So let's explain to the public who's in the room and the people who are on the phone. We're going to be adjourning to executive session, which means the video feed is going to terminate, and board and select members of staff and village attorneys will be in the room for a closed session. We will go back into regular session afterwards. Guests are welcome to return at that point. The public is welcome. Those of you who are on Zoom, if you plan to rejoin the meeting, my best advice, John, if I could, what would you suggest that they watch via YouTube or come back on Zoom? We'll admit them when we're ready.
Correct. Correct. So you could wait in the Zoom waiting room, and they'll be admitted when the regular session.
Wait in the Zoom waiting room.
The meeting will end. You can rejoin the meeting and be in the waiting room until we restart.
Anything planned for the end?
Yeah, the goal setting workshop.
Well, so.
Hey, John. Will you...
All right. So then with that, I move to enter into executive session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village.
Second.
Okay.
Roll call.
Okay. Whoop. All right.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Yeah, we're. I'm ready when you're ready.
It could be worse. He might go.
All right. So we're back into. Did you take a roll call?
So it's 8:09 p.m. We are back in open session. I'll call the roll. Trustee Johnson?
Here.
Trustee Brennan?
Here.
Trustee Vasquez?
Here.
Trustee Gillis?
Here.
Trustee Bochner?
Here.
Trustee O'Connell?
Here.
President Ducey?
Here. All right. Thank you, Village Board members. This is our we're here as your staff to help you through this process. This is your strategic planning and goal setting workshop. Just for the public's benefit and for the record, I'll just go over some of the background information that I sent out to the Village Board of Trustees. So there's some context here. So strategic issues or goals are critical items that are truly important from the vast amount of circumstances and information at both the policy and operational levels that currently are or may confront the village government. Identifying strategic issues can be compared to pouring gallons and gallons of ideas into a bucket with a filter at the bottom. After much thought and discussion, what emerges is a mix of important issues that demand attention. The village's goals revolve around three guiding principles that have been adopted by the Village Board. Ensure that the Village provides a safe community for its residents, business owners, and institutional partners. Work to protect and strengthen the value of property. Implement strategies to stabilize property taxes. Strategic issues usually center around attention or conflict on an issue that must be resolved because of differences over past ways of doing things
versus future demands. Strategic issues tend to have no obvious one best solution. They also represent a fundamental choice that must eventually be made at the highest levels of the organization at either the policy, meaning elected, or administrative level. We typically strive to meet different central themes as we focus on our strategic goals regarding customer service, performance, economic development, and quality of life. As you go through your annual budget, you will see in the budget that was adopted last year that there are Village Board adopted goals at the front of the budget document. Each department goes through its operating budget and aligns what we plan to do for the next fiscal year in the objectives and overview pages in each operating budget. So we tie our departmental goals, in addition to the day-to-day things that we do to support the operations of the village, we tie our goals to your goals. What the budget becomes is a document putting our money where our mouth is, essentially, operationalizing the village board's goals and the village staff's goals, and putting those policy decisions that you all make as our elected officials into practice. So to do that, one of the things we do from time to time is a strategic visioning and goal setting workshop. Typically, this coincides with the elected of new officials, because what you will find, and for those of you who've been on the board for a few years already or for a long time, many of these goals take time. There are short-range goals and long-range goals, and so we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. But as you know, these things take time. And so we sit down with boards every couple of years and get an idea. We talk a little bit in the budget, as you saw, where we're at and where we're going. So the purpose of tonight is to do that and to get some ideas from you all. This is a brainstorming session. There are no bad ideas. What I think we're going to find is there are a lot of ideas that tie together, that tie back to central themes, that are maybe even a little bit repetitive. That's okay. What we do following this meeting is take those ideas and boil them down and bring them back to you as a Village Board of Trustees to approve and incorporate into the annual budget. So this is not the final discussion on this matter, but the first discussion. So with that, we'll start with visioning. Imagine that you left the Village of River Forest tomorrow and didn't return until many years in the future. The Village Board members have been asked to develop 3 or 4 vision statements that would describe what you think you would see in the community in terms of village services, policies, facilities, staffing, and programs 10 or 15 years into the future. There are no wrong answers. Use your imagination. And if anybody would like to share those visioning items, I would be happy to take them, and we'll put them up on our paper here. And as we fill these sheets up, we'll put them around the room so everybody can see what we're working on. And
so Lisa, before we move directly into that, I just want to add part of the guiding principles that it was that, you know, you're strengthening property values, but it's strengthening property values through quality of life initiatives. You strengthen their quality of life. I mean, one of the reasons we live here in River Forest is because, you know, we have a high feeling, hopefully.
I appreciate that. Thank you, President.
Part of it.
All right.
Visioning. What do you think, 10, 12 years?
Art?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. I'd like to see more affordable housing options in River Forest.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have more than 25% of our residents are single family or individuals living in homes or apartments. And what we've seen around the board table a lot are zoning variance requests, building onto, up and around their homes. Our homes are getting bigger and bigger and more expensive. And it's harder and harder for people to move into River Forest and to be able to stay in River Forest once their families, you know, like me, become an empty nester, my kids move away, and also to support our seniors. So what does that look like? Well, it could look like making returning a lot of our large homes to duplexes, which a lot of them used to be. It could be ADUs, resolution, but also creating more affordable housing for our seniors and or residents who want to move here and who want to be able to stay here.
Start with one for myself. I would love to be able to see 10 more than this, but see the decisions of the board and the village against a matrix that includes equity for everyone in the village and those who are a part of our community day in, day out, who may not be residents. And using some sort of tool that we can, or at least the thought.
For me, if I'm coming
excuse me, Rez. Could I ask you as a favor, could you please speak into the microphones because you break up and at the end of your statement, I can't hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. For myself, I would like to see the corridor of the TIF areas, North Avenue and Madison, be completed with commercial and a mixture of condos or apartments right above it. So we have both housing and probably some affordable housing and as well as some housing for seniors. But the commercial is also developed as part of that. I've seen in some suburbs where they do that. It's a combination of commercial businesses on the first floor and then housing or residence right above it, so that the customers are there, but also the businesses are there as well. So, yes.
Along with that, taking advantage of our region versus just the River Forest itself and understanding who would come from commercial and retail and having an understanding that we Park, Maywood, Elmwood Park, Oak Park area, and using that to come up with some of those answers. Regional
collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I will try to go next. Looking into the future, I think some of the things we have to do, and again, I do think it's going to require increased collaboration with the Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus, with Western, suburbs, starting with Oak Park, River Forest, Forest Park, Elmwood Park, Maywood, Broadview, et cetera, is, I'll just put these programs on the table. One is subsidies or some sort of program that helps homeowners with the electrification of their homes to move away from natural gas. That's a thing in our future that we need to get ahead of. How do we do that? Secondly, some sort of program that educates and enhances and perhaps figures out a way to make more cost-effective pavers and other permeable surfaces for our residents, so they're not going to, concrete and asphalt, which is cheaper but not necessarily the best option. I would love to bring back, and I know
I think, Sarah, you might have heard this before from me, bring back the tree buying program, where we can buy trees through the village and then work to get those trees put in place, because we need to keep working on our tree canopy. We have an amazing arborist. We have an amazing program focused on maintaining our trees. That program, I personally put a lot of trees in my backyard through that program. I don't know what happened to it. I would love to know why it went away and bring it back. I do think, and it's not on this list someplace, but if I look to, I actually did an exercise looking to like what I'd want if I left and came back, and where I'd be like, oh, this is still that magical place where we all lived, is continued variety in housing and architecture. And the way to do that, I think, is really that we're going to have to start looking at historical preservation at some level. Also look at increased variety in housing stock, the type, the price points, et cetera. I think everything else has been covered that was on my list. Thank you. Should I, if I want to add to something that Lisa said, should I do it now while you're at that, or?
I'm going to give you the vision first.
Well, I think we can, and correct me if I'm wrong, but just to try to pull it out so we have it in the audio, I think what you're looking at is a diverse and robust urban forest.
Yes.
Within the village.
Yes.
Residents have access to resources to help support that.
Yes.
And program incenting?
Incenting is perfectly good.
same difference. Whatever. Either way, encouraging residents to utilize stormwater management techniques within their own properties.
Yes.
Right? And then subsidies for residents to convert to natural gas.
For electrification, to move away from natural gas.
Yeah.
Thank you. Electrifying your house. They're actually doing that now in Colorado and other states. California has, unfortunately, there is not a green variety. There's not a green energy for natural gas yet. There's just green energy for electricity. So actually going to electricity is going to help us long term.
Okay.
A lot of.
So the vision is that there's some sort of village program. The vision is that residents are utilizing more energy sources than just natural gas, and the village has done something to support that.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my ideas and making them even more aspirational and better.
Work together.
Yeah.
Right. Just a quick question with regard to the. Thank you, Bob. Can you hear me? Hopefully.
Yeah, you got to speak up.
Okay, I'll speak even louder. That's right. I am terrible with this. Yes. With regard to that, I know that there are some state programs and subsidies with regard to solar panels and the like. Is that something that we as an organization are comfortable with or promoting?
Yes, we are. In fact, we're part of MC. We've actually done by REC through MC Squared, and we're now moving forward with the community.
Great.
I'm going to get it wrong, but SCS Squared, which is through Mayor's Metropolitan Caucus.
So, Lisa, the one I wanted to piggyback on what Lisa said was the incentivizing permeable pavers. Should I wait for that? Or?
Well, if it's part of a vision, no. If it's a short-term goal or tactic, maybe hold it until we get then. Either way, the bottom line is we're ultimately going to get to short-term, near-term, and longer-term goals. You can introduce them now or later.
Because the vision is helping our residents. You said it better than I would. Helping our residents incorporate storm water management techniques into their own properties.
I'm fine addressing it as a shorter term now that it's on longer term, and we'll just layer it.
So my vision is solid transparency through education, meaning I think we have great transparency right now, but and I think of what I would like if I was a new resident coming in is just the ability to quickly find out about programs, love an event that would allow me to, like a town event that would allow me to not only find out but meet people. So I'm calling that a town. So part of that is just the education. So I'm calling that like a town event. Additionally, I would say, you know, for me personally, I'm really heavy on the property tax appealing, and I would love like an ongoing community service that we offer that teaches people about how to apply for appeals. Perfect world for me, every resident would apply for an appeal no matter what. So, you know, I'm basically saying through education, we offer more, even though we have a strong educational system right now, but we collaborate with the universities and offer more educational events for our residents so that they can just take advantage of all the programs we have. Then the question is, how do they find out about them? And so that's where the transparency part comes in. But I think about a new resident. If you just moved here, how do you find out about things? Yes, you come to the village.
Yep.
And yes, you may get a hold of the newsletter. But I think that we have the ability and resources to be even more forthright in our outreach to new neighbors, as well as about all of our resources and how they can take advantage of them.
But, yeah, I agree completely. And I would add, you know, we talked about collaboration among communities. I think we have to increase the collaboration amongst taxing bodies.
Yeah.
Okay. Collaboration.
Yeah, and that was that was a great one on two different parts. The idea, Kathy, that you said, working with our taxing bodies to make sure, so in this instance that you're talking about, that the township is there and has some great resources. So how can we make that, you know, better?
Yeah.
And then the idea of having events in River Forest, I think that is something that has been near to me in ways to, like, for residents so that they are sticking around on the weekends to do things that are fun, festival kind of things. When you think about the, you know, food truck rally, that's something that everyone enjoys, but doing some more stuff like that across the village that we can others to come to the village.
Yeah, great. Those are great.
Let me just say, as example of a town event. So, put my old River Forest Youth Soccer League hat on. But you know, every year there's the Fall Fest, and you bring about it brings all the community,
mm-hmm.
parents and kids together, and it's a huge event. They have the jumpies, they're everything. And I wondered, why can't we, as a community, have one of these events? And within that event, you know, have stations about older, you know, education and things that we're doing, so that you don't just have to get the information from you know, the newsletter. You can just be in that park, you can enjoy, you can meet people, you can enjoy the day with your kids, and then you can also learn about the different things that we have going on in the community. So it may encourage people to come to the festival or fair and then desire to move to River Forest because of what we offer.
There's so many communities that have lighting of a tree or a lighting of a Hanukkah candle or whatever, and we don't do that. I think those are great ideas. I think we should be doing that. So I would add, you know, coming back 10, 12 years, I would think that I'd like to see, although we can't call ourselves, and I know this sounds like it's old-fashioned, but it should be complimentary of, you know, we all love the term of River Forest, and you know, some of us may say we still live in Mayberry, but we don't. We have more than one stop light now. We have several. But I think that comes from the fact that everybody knows everybody. Everybody can walk freely around town and feel safe. I think that's where that whole Mayberry thing comes from. So I see our town as this still very charming, welcoming, inclusive town that looks at housing,
for everyone that is transportation is available, readily and available to everyone. Our infrastructure is readily and available to everyone, including those with disabilities. That just everything that we offer as a community, in addition to what we just talked about, the other taxing bodies, which bring that charm to River Forest, whether it's the schools or the library or the, park district, we all work in concert to bring that beautiful charm. But I think we're the leader of this, kind of collaboration effort. And so I see if we can get the, housing and transportation and infrastructure downright that and everything works together, I think, why leave River Forest? That would be mine. What would cause you to leave? If you can afford to stay here, if you can have transportation to get to and from work, if you feel safe, I guess safety would be, I put safety in there. And, there's ability to get around town and there's commerce, grocery stores, just places to shop and visit.
Basically, get everything you can that you need in this socially.
That means okay. We have to work with not only our surrounding communities and our taxing mm-hmm. bodies, but both. All intertwine with us. The state owns some of our streets. Mm-hmm. The government owns the tax. We are like to think that we can do it all, but we can't. I think Lisa touched on it a little bit of historic preservation. Our architecture mm-hmm. is beautiful, and it is why some. But it's keeping what we have, but improving where we need to. And where our weaknesses are. We need to be cognizant of the weaknesses.
I would like to just come back to you because you talk about transportation, infrastructure, health again, there's health with the health thing. That's where I think kind of the green ecosystem comes in, being free of air pollution, noise pollution.
Of what we're talking about here is really interesting, the idea that, as we think towards new ideas and where we want River Forest to be or continue to stay, ideas that we are open to how we change. We can be as a board and village and the community, we can be excited about new things and not just stay with old ideas because that's the way we are. So, you probably have some wonderful way to say that, but
I'll throw the baby out of bed.
Exactly.
And be creative.
Yeah, of course.
And one of the reasons why I'm thinking about that is because when I think about our economic development, mm-hmm. and a few people have mentioned public transportation, mm-hmm. What are the barriers to people, who might be in the Oak Park area walking across lake, right? Walking across Harlem, walking across North Avenue to come into our community. You know, walking through the village, you know, from Maywood to River Forest, is some of that public transportation, right? Like the Green Line stops at Harlem and Lake. Is there any, you know, opening for that to stop at Lake Drop or something like that, so that people could continue on into our economic hub? Are there things that we can do around Harlem Avenue so people feel like it's just a natural progression through walking, you know, through Oak Park?
Bob, are you, hello, Bob?
Yeah, I did raise my hand a while ago, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So good comments. I wanted to go back to Rez's. I'm on the TIFs. I mean, I think it's just strengthening our overall economic development. You know, we have, because it's mostly independent, we have independent business people that run businesses in our town up and down Lake Street. And I think, you know, whatever we can do to support them, with initiatives, at one point in time we talked about, you know, facade rebates and those kind of things. And I know I'm getting into the tactics in the short term, but I mean, those kind of things to, you know, to make that a more, exciting economic driver for us. You know, we have Harlem and Lake, that, you know, obviously, there's lots of changes going on there on, you know, almost on a monthly basis. So, you know, it's just, again, trying to figure out how we drive this this economic engine, because again, as we talked about previously in previous board meetings, you know, we need some economic development to drive some of the other projects we're doing. So it's really important. But I concur with a lot of the comments that were made. So thanks.
So I think, I think, I don't know, Lisa, maybe we don't bucket this way, but I think the bucketing is, you know, we talked about what makes a good community. I mean, other than, you know, our parks and schools and our library, which is a wonderful compliment to, but what else? You know, why do people come to River Forest? And I think we've touched on categories of transportation, like we talked about housing. We talked about that. Housing, as Katie said, it's for seniors. It's for those that want to downsize. It's for many people. Those things are attractive. And then transportation. There are many things in transportation that creates this attractiveness to River Forest. You know, infrastructure, you know, people feel comfortable. I mean, just anything that, you know, makes life better for them, you know, whether it's pavers or ADA compliant streets, street lights that are longer than 2 seconds, so that seniors can walk across, you know, feeling comfortable. I mean, those, I think, you know, again, infrastructure can cover a lot. If we can categorize infrastructure and say what's under those, if we can categorize transportation and what's under that, housing, historic, to me, historic preservation is important in addition to, you know, all the other things that were said as well. So I think, you know, there's so many great things, and economic development, in my mind, is property taxes. You know, it's what Ken brings up, right? It's the engine that allows us to really stabilize those property taxes, amount of commercial and residential to augment, you know, our base. So, anyway, yeah, Bob, go ahead.
Bob, you're muted.
Hey, Bob, muted.
I know this is kind of outside of our bailiwick, but I think it's just, maybe it's mentioned and put over to the side. It's just something else that, you know, when you ask the question of when you come back here 10 or 15 years from now, what do you want to see? And I think we, you know, in some form or fashion, we have to address our schools. And so, again, it's kind of outside of our bailiwick, but I think it's got to be part of the bigger conversation. Making sure that people, you know, are coming for the schools, and the schools are delivering what they're supposed to deliver.
I would say, Bob, too, making sure that there's enough infrastructure for the schools. I remember a few years back, there was an increase 1 year of 5% at one of the schools. And we need to make sure that we're prepared for that as a village, and that we're able to provide the support to the schools for essentially those kinds of population.
I'll add, when I think about, you know, leaving and coming back in 10 to 15 years, I would like to see vibrancy in creating more artwork. The arts quarter that we had discussed last year, we had a resident that was very interested in helping us with that. I don't think it went anywhere. But so I think, you know, one can see River Forest as a place that doesn't change much, and that can be a positive and that can be a negative. It's sometimes it can be seen as a little bit sleepy, but we can add some vibrancy with, you know, murals and a coordinated arts quarter project.
This idea of having corridors is a lot of other towns very successful with that. Banners with, like, this is where you do this thing, like a theater, you know, in Chicago.
We have. I do remember we eight districts, and we had a lot of conversation around that. We'd have a, well, we did create historic districts, but like Soho or something. We wanted to create, like, not to create a divide, but just areas of River Fork. I know we came up with some crazy. Remember that? Maybe Eric was more part of that, you know, creative kind of district. That I really liked. Feeling.
An overall investment in technology. We had many ways, besides for businesses that are innovative in technology, it could be, but, you know, some of the things that make things vibrant nowadays is their use of technology,
yeah,
right?
Great,
so
idea.
More
smart city,
something is.
Smart,
yeah.
City,
right.
You know, a lot of technology.
And I'm going to go real tactical, but I think it's a cool thing. It's like internet everywhere. A lot of towns have that.
I was
going
to say, and stabilize that internet capacity throughout the. Yeah.
We're small enough, Bob. I didn't speak into the microphone.
All right, so the next thing that we'll move on to is the development or short-term or near-term ideas. So the board was asked to develop three or four short-term goals that you feel the village should be, that should be addressed and be prepared to discuss during the session. Short-term means any goals, objectives, services, or issues that you'd like to see initiated or completed within the next 2 years. These should be plans, programs, et cetera, that can be realistically initiated within the next fiscal year, and to which, in your opinion, the board and staff should commit.
I want to start by making sure we get you business cards that say whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Yeah, Yeah, whatever.
Local products.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't one that I thought about before just now, but I've been at some in-person meetings recently, and there have been people from the or staff from the township, staff from the library and other places that have these name tags that are usable, magnetic.
Yes.
And I wished I had a name tag. I could have just, you know, put on and
oh my gosh,
very short term.
Wow.
The idea that we have things that we can reuse.
Yeah, and actually, I talked with someone about it, and they said, well, they have a set of two. They keep one at their office and one in their car. You know, mm-hmm. Easy to forget, right?
Sorry, yes. That's
mm-hmm.
a, don't poke holes in your. So, but the one I had thought about ahead of time and had written down was I would like us to have a waste pickup structure that supports the village's stated climate goals and incentivizes our residents to reduce waste.
Katie, what does that look like?
It looks like something that doesn't cause someone who wants to adhere to the village's stated climate goals by, you know, having to pay more to compost. Because someone who's composting and paying more to do it is reducing their landfill, but they're still paying the same amount for the landfill.
Right.
No, we're not creating that incentive for our residents to reduce their landfill. I've got, you know, you can see someone with a burgeoning landfill bin every week with stuff next to it and everything, and they pay the same amount as someone who maybe doesn't have to have their landfill bin emptied but once every 2 months. And part of the reason why they don't have to have that landfill been emptied once, but once every 2 months, is that they reduce their waste consciously, and they are paying for our additional fee for the compost and putting a lot of the things that would go in someone else's landfill into the compost.
Mm-hmm. So I
making
never
good decisions. I'm sorry to keep going and making good decisions, really knowing what the village waste haulers' rules are on recycling and really adhering to that and not wish cycling and throwing stuff in recycling that really is tainting our recycling.
Yeah, so I never understood why the composting was more money. So that's one that always threw me for a loop, is if we want to do something like that, you know, to why do you incentivize people? So, but thank you for that. I wanted to jump on something that Ken brought up earlier that I think from a short-term strategy is something that we could do is, you know, I think, you know, we do the village. We conduct inspections when homes are sold for, you know, through the water meter and things. So we have a pretty good idea of when properties are being turned over. And why wouldn't we put together some kind of welcome packet, to Ken's point, on, you know, providing all the information to a new homeowner that's, you know, that they'll need. You know, one of the last things that happens is the water bill read. And so we know that within a day or two of that happening, someone else is going to move into that house and pick up that water billing. So, you know, put that packet together with all that information that Ken's was referring to, and let's get it out there, you know, however.
Well,
we want
Bob,
to.
Bob, didn't we send you one?
Nope.
Yeah, we did. We got your name wrong.
Oh, that's right. It was Bruce.
Okay. So we did send one. We just didn't give you the right name.
It was a letter, but I think what, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, I think what you were referring to was, you know, a better understanding of all of the services and places to go. So.
I have a short term. I think it's short term. The lighting, the traffic lights, and the timing of the traffic lights, at least from some of the seniors I've heard, is they think it's a little too short. And even from some of our disabled residents, they think they need a little more time than what the timing currently is on some of our traffic lights. So I don't know if we've actually did a study or whether we looked at the timing of the traffic lights when we in the village. And if not, can we? And that's, I'm thinking, a short term to do. Just in general is what I mean.
I have just two things that I'm not quite sure, like divisioning versus short term, or maybe this is intermediate, but I just want to make sure it gets noted somewhere. Is there's two things that are happening that I think we need to just acknowledge and figure out kind of our point of view and how we're going to support it. One is if the infrastructure funds and what, how can we, you know, like figure out what we're going to get and figure out how we're going to use them to achieve these short, intermediate, and long-term goals. That's the first thing. And secondly, related to that probably is the Eisenhower, and whatever they're going to do with the Eisenhower is going to impact us, and understanding kind of what we want from that. To, you know, given all of our goals, I think it's going to be key. Just talking about, like, whatever dollars.
Oh, that 1.2 trillion.
Just that little one, yes.
Okay, that little one.
I don't know. Maple get a trillion. Who knows? You know, no, I know we're not going to get that much, but just understanding what we're going to do and then applying that against these goals is probably going to be a short-term thing for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back to collaborating.
Right.
I have one. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Include me in that as well.
Not throw in grants.
Oh, and I was going to say, do we have to limit it to? I know we're talking about infrastructure, right? But there are other programs that I know that we've tapped in from. I remember the fire chief, I remember our police chief had tapped into different grants. So I think any other services that we offer or provide, that we should be tapping government funds.
And private funds, grants.
Correct. Perfect.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
I think also encompassing all that is what we've discussed in the past. If we have staff that can look into all this, or should there be an appointed staff to really dig deep into this and the grants that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just an overview or an examining what type of staff can we accomplish it with our current staff, or is there needed for having to look into that issue?
That was going to be my next point, is that we have to ensure that we have staffing across the board. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure our public safety is staffed, and make sure our, you know, all of our employees are happy and stay.
And I was just going to add, as my back to education, and I think we should have more village-sponsored adult education classes or training or across the board.
Sure.
We would need to obviously get the word out about it. But if I look at some of our neighbors, they do, in my opinion, a better job of having multitudes of classes and forums and things that help vet. better their residents, and I think we could do the same in River Forest. So, of course, I'm going to say the property taxes. I've seen, you know, classes that help. I've seen some communities have just a quick one-off on, you know, trust in estates or just learning about different issues that would help you, budget training, you know, anything that would help improve, like adult education, things that would help our neighbors improve themselves and their families.
You know, and in following up with that, Ken, a good idea, but also maybe working with the library, because they already have some classes, not everything that you're mentioning, but I think they already have the system, quote unquote, set up for, and we can, you know, just add or cooperate or work with them in terms
and
of
And I
that.
Mean, I know
yeah.
your thorn is property taxes.
Right.
Hardly, in fact. That's why I keep going back to township when Eric brought it up. I mean,
right.
Our assessor does a really great job of doing classes. I'm not quite sure she does. We do a great job of advertising the classes, although I think she tries. I know she brings in the Cook County Board of Reviews.
I was going to say, there's a commissioner. That
yeah,
comes a
commissioner
in.
That comes in and actually
yeah.
goes through.
Yeah.
I mean, she does that. And so maybe, we need to help augment
right and get the word
education,
out too,
the word out
right.
So do you feel like we've heard this from our you know our residents and neighbors is some of the things that we bring up here at the table they don't have an understanding about what's going on sometimes. One thing that I can is maybe like around the tip and how recall our previous village manager having
right.
sessions were in discussion
right.
around the TIF and explaining
yeah.
some of those things. And so maybe holding more things like that. And sometimes those are required by law to do
yep.
so, but maybe thinking beyond what is required
right.
and what is needed or wanted. Make sure we're understanding from the residents their needs and their understanding or, you know, the program is whatever. The other part, and I guess I said this for the first part in terms of visioning, it feels like it's both, but in relation to a equity decision matrix, I do think that is something that can and should happen years. In terms of initiating it and following through and along the lines with that, doing the racial equity impact.
Doesn't that, isn't that an output of the advisory group? I mean, so if we're looking for short term, I mean, I think that's part of that output.
So putting it here kind of codifies it.
Okay.
One other thing, and it's tied to education, but we do have two colleges in our town. So I think really trying to figure out how we can better serve the community through look at those amazing places. I think Dominican, you know, both schools do a lot. I think better understanding what they have to offer, communicating that to residents. Are there other things that, you know, maybe they can do for us, we could do for them?
In addition to that, we also have Triton Community College. I'm not sure if some of the courses or classes can be coordinated with them, and maybe they're offering something already that's already part included. So, away from the two universities, but.
Yep. Agreed.
I wanted to
add something to Ken's comment, and then I have another one. The idea about adult education. When we first created the Sustainability Commission, we held programs at the library put on by the Sustainability Commission on various topics. And, you know, I've already mentioned it, that a lot of people don't really understand what's recyclable in town and what isn't. And a lot of it, we just don't take the time to read placard that's sent out to us. And it's also difficult to read the thing at the bottom of the bottle, too. I've gotten out a magnifying glass before. You know, that's a good example of another education thing. It could be like, you know, recycling 101. I often thought before Julie Moeller left town, we should have try to stump Julie.
Yeah.
With, you know, how do I recycle this, Julie? And
yeah.
She can tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was just the Sustainability Commission that did that. A lot of, you know, talking about new residents that come to town or even existing residents who've been here for 12 or 15 years. Do they know what traffic and safety does? Why not have traffic and safety put on the thing at the library? Say, this is what we do, you know, and this is who we are.
I agree. And I think we do highlight commission.
But it's not the same as a.
Yeah. And I think, but my point is I think if I agree, I mean, we need to do more of that. And I think that's.
I think it's pulling it all together. Like you're saying, there are programs out there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a unified calendar where people can say, oh, there's a Triton event tonight that says this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a Dominican, but it pulls everybody together. We don't have to work that hard to pull it off, but, you know, maybe I'm off.
That's
so.
That's a great.
Right.
Isn't that, are they part of that?
We have a community. We worked really hard at.
I know we have a Triton's on it.
Triton's
not a part of it?
No. No.
No, it's
only River Forest.
D200, D90, Park District, Library, and Township.
Park is part of it.
D200,
River
correct.
Is border, I mean,
yeah.
River Forest is part of it.
I, you know, I never even noticed.
No, Triton's not. Okay.
Short-term goal to me.
Yeah.
But I did ask at a village meeting, maybe a couple meetings ago, if we could publicize Dominican events. And I think you told me yes, that there is, as long as it's a community.
Yeah, exactly. And lots of those agencies sponsor other events on their calendar.
Right.
Just like, I mean, the village calendar does, you know, all the time for different things. Specific of Dominican, but
right.
They certainly, you know, welcome to. You know, we try to do things that are either – in River Forest, or, you know, really for River Forest.
Yeah, well, they just put on the, a theatrical production, Mamma Mia, weekend. That could have been fun to.
Back to strengthening relationships. I mean, I'm assuming that goes both ways, right?
Right.
So, you know, where we really look for our universities and their taxing bodies.
I have two more. One is restrictions on the highest decibel leaf blowers. About considering the health and safety of our residents and those who are coming through the village, who are working here as well. The you know, decibels are loud from afar, even when you're inside your house trying to work. So we want to make our village more work-at-home friendly. But just consider the operator who's operating that machine. If it's a gas blower, it's its highest decibel. That's causing hearing loss. And then the second one was is get a report and recommendation out. If I haven't seen one yet on the community center project, that is a collaboration between all the taxing bodies.
Well,
I think Eric. I never saw that.
Yeah.
That
was a. I think Eric. That's what he
Kathy, could you repeat what you just said? I didn't hear it.
I just said I believe what Eric reported out when he left, which is which I didn't like or agree with, is, and there's no secret in the township, this is that they opted out of doing anything, of creating a new community center or buying into a, investing into a new community center collectively.
Yeah, and they got the park board to go along with it also. Yes.
Oh yeah. By the way, you were on it. You were the liaison. So didn't you? Yes. Didn't Eric report out on that?
Yes. Yeah. Right before he left, it was, you know, they, the park board or the community center had no interest, and then the park board got behind that.
A published report somewhere?
I think Eric had it. I thought so, but we'll look for it.
Have to go back and take a look.
Okay, well, that's a short-term goal.
Yeah, we'll find that. We'll find it. And believe me, I'd love to.
It would have been good.
Resurrect that. I think it is. You know, and like I said, I've talked to both entities, and I think it's a perfect spot to do something different and new. No, I'm with.
Well, that collaboration was something that the village paid money for. And I don't know that I didn't see any report on it. So maybe residents would like to resolve.
Yeah, we'll find it. Yeah, because we paid money for consultants to help us draft drawings. We have all of that, and we'll put it back on the website. Absolutely, I think it was there a year ago. It was drawings. There were a different. Remember? Vaguely, but okay. You remember it.
I think also getting here the idea of traffic challenges on Harlem and potentially, I don't know, or with residents that. In those areas.
I think I was talking to a group of people just the other day, longtime residents, and they said that the number one issue that they had was the amount of traffic that comes through our neighborhood now. Just the amount and the speed at which they come.
The speed, yeah.
So thank you, Erica, for mentioning that. And it is. It's true. It's kind of on everyone's mind.
Right.
Yeah.
So... So I think we've sort of started down this path, but the idea, we've talked about it at the board table, that there we don't have any cul-de-sacs or anything meaningful along, let's say, Des Moines Street, right next to North Avenue. And honestly, like when I look at any other village in this area or in other parts of Chicago, there are those towns do something about that you can't just go, you know, at 40 miles an hour.
So, Erica, in our comprehensive plan, there's actually designs for cul-de-sacs.
Right.
You're right. We've never implemented them because it is could be a third rail. I mean, where residents don't want them to be blocked off, yet they want the traffic to be, like, slowed down. I think what you're saying, we do have a great deal of traffic, and it's a great deal at speed, and I think it's a collaboration with our police department on how to calm the traffic down, whether it's speeding, you know, cul-de-sacs, speed bumps, signs. It is an issue. I mean, and I think the residents, it would be on the top five.
So I agree with you on the third rail. I mean, you know, there's been quite a few people who have commented about the bump outs on Chicago Avenue and Lake Street, you know? So what's happened is, you know, people are slowed down on Lake Street and Chicago Avenue, but now they're going down, you know, Augusta or Division at breakneck speed. So I think it's kind of just putting the resources in the right place to start sending the message out that you can't speed through our town.
You know, people talked about speed cameras at one event that I was at. I'm like, well, we can't do it because we're not home rule, and you know, and it's we don't, and I think it's limited to just populations of 1 million people. That's why you only see Chicago having speed cameras. Although I laugh because you put speed cameras up and people get tickets, they get mad. So you know, that's the third rail. You want to calm it down, but when you start putting infrastructure in, whether it's technology or whatever, bump outs, another conversation. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, that's what we get elected to do. Well, it's the accolades. So I think, you know, as long as long term is, I think Lisa, you're right. It's a long term kind of, you know, vision is, you know, we want a calm, quaint town. I don't know if, you know, given the amount of traffic now that comes through our neighborhood, how do we continue that?
I agree with you, and I do think also we've had residents express to us that they don't want to, they need to see measures in the immediate future. Waiting for the TIF development, that's too far. Where are the different spots that we can, both hands. Again, when we're talking about short term, we're talking about initiating something within the next.
Lisa, just to be clear, you're going to take any of our vision stuff that is like short term and put it in the right bucket, right? Thank you. I just didn't want to waste time.
All right. Oh, my God, you have a whole week. That was one of the short-term goals. You're going to come back in 1 week. No, I'm too sure.
All right, this is a good start.
Yeah.
Bob can't hear you, so could you, yeah.
Sorry, Bob. I was guilty of the thing we holler at other people about. So what I was saying was, as I look around the room and look at some of the visioning items, what I see are some issues that bring up our underlying zoning regulations. Affordable housing has a lot to do with density. ADUs is a zoning regulation. Right. Single family residence over to a duplex, that's zoning. A lot of what is happening in your commercial corridors has to do with zoning. As you know, every development in your commercial corridors that includes multifamily is a planned development, and all planned developments are evaluated relative to your bulk standards. So I would add on here that we start looking at, within the next 2 years, our zoning regulations.
Real good. I think this is a great start, and a lot of good stuff. So hopefully what we can do is we'll condense it like we normally do.
Okay.
Keep everything so everybody knows.
Okay.
And if we've missed something, we'll always go back to it.
Are we going to do any long-term goals? Or I heard Lisa mention that.
Yeah.
Or we're not
so
today or some other time?
The last issue is, if you think that there are, so I guess maybe as a wrap-up,
okay.
If there are any long-term goals that you think we haven't covered yet, let's get those on the board.
Okay.
I have one that it's kind of a grouping, and it's all about electrification so we can tap into green energy. And we talked about residential electrification. We can talk about bus electrification at the schools through PACE, through whatever. So I think a long-term goal is just to develop an electrification plan across residential, business, and municipalities from a building perspective, from a transportation perspective. And like EV chargers, you can put a lot into that.
Yep. That's great. That makes sense. The infrastructure has to do it willy-nilly.
Not enough. We could throw, infrastructure.
Right.
This would be pretty.
Go ahead. Lisa and I must be on the same wavelength, because there were three things that she mentioned envisioning that I had in long term. So I'll just mention them to underline or emphasize. One is the greater partnering with our two universities, which are huge assets and have wonderful offerings.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a trust in the states class, that's something that, the university could help us with, something like that. Number two is more incentives to preserve our historic architecture in river forests. I think we all acknowledge that the varied historic nature of our architecture is one of the huge appeals of river forests. It's what causes a lot of people to move here. And we've seen that it's cheaper to tear down and rebuild new homes. So what kind of incentives can we provide to make it easier decision for homeowners to preserve architecture? Lisa had mentioned that. Third is study, analyze the permeable versus impermeable surfaces on our land. It's similar to the one you said, Lisa, but it's a little bit different in that it is stormwater management. If we continue to allow businesses and homeowners to continually encroach on the permeable surfaces, we're going to continue to cause these flooding problems. So one way to resolve that, in addition to looking carefully at the percentage footprint allowed, permeable versus permeable, is to give incentives for permeable surfaces. And I'll add one final one. To me now is sitting here tonight is some people were mentioning streetlights, and you guys were going to
talk about that.
Yeah, but what you guys had and was mentioned was the timing of the crosswalk.
Mm.
I remember when I was running for trustee, and again, I hear from seniors over and over again, streetlights are so dim
I was going to talk about that, too.
Seniors,
that was going to be
and not just, seniors and not seniors have
right.
difficulty driving in our streets.
Right.
And because I know we went, you know, maybe 5 years ago, we did the
LED.
We changed out all of our lighting, and we did a great job with that. It's all LED. But I don't know if this is a short or long-term thing. Can we look at whether we can increase the amount of light without encroaching on
the resident.
Residents? Can
right.
we, you know, so there's research that's done, I'm sure,
yeah.
about the housing going down enough so it's not going into your homes, but it's really focusing the light on the streets so that people can drive more safely.
And there is. Right, and there is. There are some municipalities that already do it. So they shine the light so it really is focused away from the homes because residents are going to complain they don't want the light hitting them. So it's hitting the sidewalk and it's hitting the street. And I don't know exactly in terms of how they reflect the light down. It's almost like a little bit, as I understand, like the senior housing senior assistant on right, the Sheridan, thank you. The Sheridan, that's away from the residents, it actually focuses and hits the light down and it pretty right. But and there are lights like that too, that they do it. And then some of the municipalities, they have a light that reflects straight to the sidewalk and then the other, almost like a two-prong. And the city of Chicago sometimes has it. But they will focus one light on the street and the other light on the sidewalk, and it's not residents. So that I had it under my long term because I thought maybe that's about the village for that. So, yeah, I still have two others ideas.
I'm done.
Oh, okay. All right. So in addition to those streetlights long term, the other long term goal I had was looking at the sidewalks, because that's another issue I've heard from seniors and maybe not so senior about the leveling of the sidewalks. Some need repair, others are just need leveling. And I know there's firms, and I've talked to some other municipalities, if the leveling isn't as high or differential, they will actually shave. There's companies that actually shave one, you know, sidewalk slab to the other, so it actually is sort of smooth. I know Oak Park has done it. Obviously, I've seen where some of the sidewalks are torn with cracks in them.
Jeff, do you want to talk about some of the work that we do and kind of the cyclical work that we do here?
Okay.
We have an annual curb and sidewalk replacement program. Part of that work is to perform an annual survey of the town. We don't do the whole town every year, but every year we do the high volume areas around town center, around the schools, areas like that that see a lot of foot traffic, and then the rest of the village is split up into thirds. So we hit every area every 3 years at least. As part of that work, we either, if we find trip hazards where there is a differential in the two squares, we replace them right now. Years ago, my understanding was that the village used to have a program where they could grind, or there's another called mud jacking, where they kind of inject some stuff underneath the low one to raise it up. So there's a few different ways that issue can be approached. It was my understanding that we had kind of gotten away from the sidewalk grinding approach.
Yeah.
Certainly something we can delve back into if that's something you all are interested in, especially if there are some savings involved in that.
Jeff, I am not going to tell you what to do. All I know is the seniors are telling me they want to be able to walk without tripping, and I've seen other non-seniors do that, and I've seen people in disabilities who also want to push their wheel. I mean, they're rolling on the wheelchair and don't want to get caught up on a sidewalk. That's an event. So it's sort of a mixture of everything. I'm just throwing out ideas that I was told that other municipalities are doing. We don't have to do it. It's just okay. Good.
I think we can tackle that more short term.
Okay. The last thing. Talk about our seniors. And some of the other municipalities do it, and I think we've heard it before with putting maybe benches more than just in the parks, because if our seniors are walking around, our people who, in general,
that could be an art project.
Try to put some benches around, and I know sometimes they put them on a corner where people can rest before they cross the street or something along those lines.
I don't think that's a long-term goal.
Yeah.
I think that's a short-term goal.
Okay, well, that's
you know,
even
benches,
better.
Yeah. Artwork. I
yeah,
mean,
and I'm not saying every corner, but, yeah, something.
Okay,
talking, I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Rich.
As okay. you were talking about sidewalks, one of the things I feel I come across with the streets like Harlem Avenue is if you're driving on the right-hand side of the street, there's usually holes and things, and I recognize that this is a long-term because it's dealing with IDOT, I'm sure other places, but something that we can do to continue make it so that, like, when we're doing road repair on Harlem Avenue, and just last for.
Fair enough. Okay. So just so you know, IDOT is planning to resurface Harlem. I believe it was next year, and we've already communicated them the need to them to do basically more substantial patching in some of those areas. The east side of Harlem Avenue is the same shape. I don't know if it's the buses or what, but along that curb line, it is in bad shape between, I'd say, like Oak or Chicago all the way up to about Lemoyne. It's definitely in rough shape, and that's something we continue.
Lisa.
I just have one more. Yep. Sorry. Actually, walking over Thanksgiving weekend, I saw it. It was kind of appalling. And I think this is short term, is working with the park district to figure out how to figure out the trash situation. Mm. And if you like go across from Jewel Park with a,
yeah,
with Bocce, it was horrific.
I don't think that's a table.
I know, but it, unfortunately,
I mean,
we have an issue.
Table stakes,
and I don't know if maybe you have adopt a park and
I
have,
agree.
Like, clubs go in there and clean them up.
I agree.
There's something that we have to do.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those are just some.
My recollection is that the park district decided not to put trash cans by the bocce courts because they wanted to encourage people to bring in and take away their trash, but it's caused a problem.
No, but this is actually not bocce trash. This is just trash.
Oh,
so flying around?
Yes.
And they're just not picking it up more frequently. So that's, yeah, those are issues. So the only one other thing I want to add, and then we can wrap it up, is I know Bob talked about the schools, and the one thing that I think we ought to work with the schools on, D90, T200, and maybe the universities, is early childhood development.
Oh, good point.
And I think if we could collaborate with our school districts, our park district, again, this is another taxing body collaboration, this is so key to equity,
mm-hmm.
in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, it is working with all of the children early on. So, okay. Did anybody else have anything?
I just had one more. And then I promise you.
No worries. That's all right.
No, it's good.
Go.
Good.
Mm-hmm. I just was going to say that, you know, it's somewhat short term, but long term is that we always keep our eye on the major, I'm going to call them deficiencies in River Forest. One is our wildlife population, and then secondly, our flooding issues. We always have our eye on the ball, and that as we try to fix infrastructures, as we create new parks and developments, we always keep our eye on those major issues that affect River Forest and have affected River Forest for years, and will probably affect River Forest for years to come.
Okay, very good. So I appreciate it. You know, I think what we heard here is, hey, stay the same but change. So, that's great. I mean, all of that I think is this is wonderful, and I very much appreciate everybody's engagement tonight. All right. If there's no further questions or comments or advice for whatever, we'll
we'll go ahead and close the meeting down.
Move to adjourn. Move to adjourn.
Okay.
Yes.
Faulkner?
Yes.
O'Connell?
Yes.
Johnson?
Yes.